morning. Call to order the 81st meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council. My name is John Weingard. I'm from Surgeonsville, Clarendon County.
Jack Schreier, Morris County Freeholder.
Scott Whitehead, public member, Morristown.
Bill Cochran, Mayor of Chester Township.
Amy Letts, Precipity, Morristown.
Eric Peterson, Clarendon County Freeholder.
And on the phone we have...
Val Briggs, Morgan County Freeholder. Aisha Way, Kasaya County Freeholder.
Debbie Pascarelli, Greenwich Township, Warren County. Tracy Curlicchio, public member, Clarendon County.
We tried to set this up so the men would be here and the women on the phone, but Mimi messed it up, so she's here. Thank you all for being here and to the members of the public who are here. This meeting was advertised in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The agenda was posted on the website. We apologize that the State Office of Information Technologies had some difficulties, so the background information, other information was not posted on the website, or at least did not appear on the website, but it is available on the table in the back of the room. All who wish, please rise to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have in our packets the minutes from the December 18th meeting.
Motion minutes.
Second. Any corrections or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Abstention from the issue.
Okay. And you there? Okay. I have nothing particular to report at this time. Do other members have anything they want to bring up at this time?
I'll just mention, John, that the Development Credit Bank is going to be having our first meeting on Monday, February 2nd at 1 p.m.
And that is open to the public.
Correct.
Okay, Executive Director's Report, Emily.
Okay. Good morning and thank you very much. A number of things to go over with you today. And the web, the first is an update from OIT and from Craig, our Manager of Communications. The issue with OIT has now been remedied and the website is back up with the current information. Apologies again that we didn't get it out earlier, but the fault did not lie with us. Okay, moving on, we want to bring you up to date. We're really now in the process of implementation of the plan. The first stage is basic plan conformance, and it is the elements that are required for 2009 in order that towns can meet the statutory framework that was established by the Act to get petitions, conforming petitions into us by December 8th of this year, and also to assist municipalities that have availed themselves of the opportunity under Executive Order 114 to have their projections changed if they conform to the Highlands Regional Master Plan. Their COA projections would be consistent with the Regional Master Plan. In order to achieve their compliance with COA, they have to have adopted fair share plans to COA by December 8th, 2009. The date is the same date as for our preservation area communities. Thus, we're trying to get the work done in such a way that they will have the information necessary for them to make their final determination about conformance so that they can do their fair share plan either on their own with COA or consistent with the regional master plan and continue with conformance. So what I'm going to do is go through a PowerPoint to bring you up to date on where we are and what we've been doing working with the municipalities since we last saw you in December. There was a deadline established in order to achieve that opportunity with COA for an extension of the plans which were due December 31st of this year, and also to have their projections consistent with the plan should they choose to conform. Because of that and because of outreach by the Highlands Council to make sure municipalities understood that deadline and the need to get those resolutions in, we received 67 resolutions from 88 Highlands municipalities, from out of the 88 municipalities. This results in potential conformance for over 775,000 acres of the 860,000 region. We We still expect to get a couple of more resolutions in by February for lands still within the preservation area who haven't done the resolution. And in fact, one of them, if you read in the paper, is Mount Arlington, have stated they will be doing that for their preservation area lands. So we expect more. Of those 88 municipalities in the Highlands, 77 have taken an affirmative action to address their fair share plans, either through the extension request resolution to COA, consistent with Executive Order 114, or the filing of a petition with COA, or filing for relief with the courts. So 77 out of 88. This is a copy of the map from our website. We update this with notice of intents. The pale blue line just shows you the preservation area. And outside of that, you can see the planning area. And the dark blue color shows all of these towns, the towns which have to date filed a notice of intent to conform with the regional master plan. Here you see some lands within the preservation area that have yet to file with us, but we expect that filing before February or by February 1st. Now, to take you through plan conformance, we have sent out a letter to all of the 88 municipalities, because the lands within the planning area are free to come in at any time, so we want to keep them informed of the process. So we sent a letter out to 88 municipalities with the guidelines for what we're doing, what are the first steps towards plan conformance. 2009 will be focused on basic plan conformance, which are the immediate mandatory requirements, such as adopting resource protections. That's the work of 2009. 2010 onward, we'll work towards full plan conformance, which are the longer term planning requirements. And they have to be completed per an implementation agenda schedule that we'll set up, working in partnership with the towns. Some of this planning will entail master planning, and it does take a lot of time. There's a lot of public input necessary. So we expect to work with them, and we expect to set that schedule working with the towns. We will have that schedule, first part of that schedule, by the end of 2009, so that we know what the future looks like for full plan conformance. Both of these steps are requirements for conformance. You're not fully conformed till you reach the end of this. But they do trigger the municipal benefits. Those are triggered at the basic plan conformance stage once the council has approved those applications. That will be after the December 8th date. That's the date the petition comes in. After that, you will be working on looking at those conforming petitions. In terms of 2009, the work we've set out, the work program for the year, we have seven modules. The first three are related. The first one is current municipal conditions and build-out analysis. I'll go into each of these modules in more detail in a few moments, but just to give you an idea of what the work is. The second one is land use and resource capacity analysis. The result of those first two modules is a Highlands municipal build-out, which then leads to module three, which is the housing element and fair share plan. The information for modules one and two feed in to the fair share plan and the projections for that plan for each municipality that chooses to conform. The fourth module is an environmental resource inventory. The fifth, a Highlands master plan element. The sixth, Highlands regulations, the immediate ordinances that need to be in draft form by December 8, 2009. And finally, a municipal self-assessment, implementation plan, and petition. What is critical to know about all of these is we don't just tell the towns to go and do these things. We will be giving them templates for all of them and working with them and giving them assistance. We started this 2 days ago with module number one. We had an informational session for municipal professionals and are having a second one next Thursday. We had 42 professionals attend, representing 33 municipalities last Tuesday, and hope to have the balance of those that have done the resolution to conform next Thursday. So a little more information then on each of the modules. Module one, current municipal conditions and build-out analysis. What the Highlands Council does is we provide information to each of the towns regarding municipal developable lands, their open space, their preserved farmland, conservation easements, water supply, and wastewater facilities in a geodatabase. So we populate the geodatabase by block and lock with all this information. It's everything we know about the town. We give it to each of these towns, to their professionals, and what they do is they do a QA, QC of our information. And along on each block and lock, they have a drop-down menu. So if they disagree with something, so for example, we say we see 200 acres here of developable land, we see it as vacant. They can change that and say, no, this is built. There's a drop-down menu they have to tell us it's actually a built property. Or the opposite, we say that we see it as developable, they see it as open space preserved. Again, a drop-down menu, they'll say, so they're QA, QCing our work to make sure that by the end of this phase, the municipal conditions are agreed upon by both sides. And we worked through this, we did a pilot on this module number one with the municipality, because it's one thing for us to do this geodatabase and test it in-house. It's another thing to hand it to a town and say, try this, does it work? The result of that was a lot of assistance from the town. You approved the pilot project. They were able to assist us with changing some language, simplifying it, making it more workable from their perspective. The end result was we were able to get to the end of module one and change it then, so we've given out to the other towns in the current format, which we know works. When we get the information back from them, we will verify it again. So we'll make sure that, yes, they verified all this information. They've given us a reason as to why there's a change. It's actual conditions. We know this is preserved. We know this is vacant. We know this is developable. We want to make sure the information is accurate. So they give it back to us. We will then put it in the final report format. And that report then shows them their developable lands. It shows them utility capacity, what we know about their public water and their domestic sewage and their septic system yields. That's the first module. The base grant amount for that is $15,000. You already approved in December $7.5 million to cover all of 2009 grants, so the towns can start on this work immediately.
What's QA, QC?
Quality Assurance, Quality Control. Quality.
Thank you.
Make sure it's up to par. But it's, apologies for that, Mimi.
Eileen, in that QA, QC process, will there be opportunity for map adjustments if they are found by the municipalities?
An excellent question, Jack. What for map updates, which is...
Can you repeat the question, Eileen?
The question from Jack, Debbie, was, will this be an opportunity for map adjustments? And the answer is, there are two processes under the Highlands Regional Master Plan. Updates and adjustments. Adjustments are council decisions, and adjustments will not be done in this process because it's not factual information. Adjustments are where town will come in and say they've got certain planning and they'll ask you to consider changes with a no net loss theory. But for updates, this is the first part of the update process, and some updates may be necessary during this process. But updates require verification. Such as if you tell us something is open space, in order for us to change the open space layer, we are going to require seeing the deeds, knowing that the deeds are there and it's preserved in perpetuity. So when we get this information from the towns, it is, in essence, the beginning of the update process. What we'll do is we'll capture that information here at the Highlands Council, and later we told the professionals this, we'll go back to them, ask for the verification, and later we'll be looking at updating layers or mapping layers. So a good example always is open space and farmland preservation. But to require the verification under module one, and we did this working with our pilot, it's too time consuming for the towns to get all the information to verify things. So for example, if they say these properties have existing pipes to them for sewer service or potable water, we require something in the form of verification like billing records in order to update our maps. So this is step one of the updates process. Is that okay, Jim? Okay. Module two. Now this is the second part of the build-out analysis. We've given them the module one results, and now what they need to do is they need to perform a comparison of projected demands with existing conditions. So they know what their available lands for development are, they know what their capacity issues are with potable water and public systems, public natural systems, septic and sewer. Now what they've got to do is look at their conditions in their town and see what the limiting factors are. So they will consider septic system yield, public water supply, utility capacity, wastewater facilities, utility capacity, and we will provide them with water availability limitations where relevant. Because in many cases you'll find, for example, if the septic system yield is a limiting factor in that area, that's what they need to know, because that's the limiting factor, so the development is limited by that. So dependent on what the limiting factor is, we'll provide them with the water availability analysis where necessary. And what this does, it allows them to evaluate the limiting factor analysis with their local zoning. It doesn't require them to change local zoning, but they have to know if, for example, they see a potential for a certain amount of developable lands within their existing community, but they don't have the capacity within the sewage facilities to support that, then they know they're not going to be building that at this time, so it doesn't feed into their fair share plan. This is all to assist them in looking at their fair share plan. They have to know what the limiting factors are, and that will give them their projections, thus they can do their fair share plan. The base grant amount for this portion is 10,000. Again, we give them, this is a sort of a back and forth now between us and the municipality. We give them the information. They look at their local conditions and, recognizing the limiting factors, are then ready to do module 3, which is their housing element and fair share plan. They incorporate the results from that build-out analysis into their updated housing element and fair share plan. They prepare those reports. We will assist with that. This council has in the past given grants to towns for their fair share plans, and will continue to do it under this module for plan conformance. They'll submit those reports to the Highlands Council to review prior to municipal adoption. The reason for that is we want to make sure if these are conforming municipalities, their fair share plans must conform to the plan. So therefore they must be in areas where they will be consistent with that plan. So before they send them to CO, we want to make sure that they're consistent with us, so that they have no roadblocks as they move forward. Once approved, those documents should be submitted to COA or the Law Division of the Superior Court in accordance with the Fair Housing Act, and that should be done by December 8th, 2009. And we've deliberately done our schedule so that we can assist towns to get enough time to do this. They need the information first from the build-out analysis. The build-out analysis is very detailed, as the professionals saw on Tuesday. But what the verification process, that QAQC, quality assurance, quality control, allows for it to be a partnership. They're not reacting. We could actually run the build out on the numbers we have, but we want to make sure we've got local conditions accurately. And there you've got the buy-ins in the towns, and we both go, the build out that is accepted by them. So this leads to the end. Yes, Ben.
Just a question. So they're going to resolve any conflicts prior to doing the final build-out analysis. In other words, if we said we have a 1,000-acre reserve farm and we've shown it's developable, we're going to assume that that's correct and move forward?
That's correct.
That's how we're going to do it?
Yes.
And one other question, why wouldn't you use property record cards as a methodology for determining the status of the piece of land on the lot tomorrow? Why would you use a deed?
Well, what we've done is we've actually set forth a series of ways they can prove anything out to us. So I just gave you one example, but there's a series of ways, depending on the issue, whether it's infrastructure related or open space, ways they can prove it to us. But we just want verification for our records. We're just not asking for it this time because we did discover it's too time consuming. The firm that was running the build out said that in each town they have to go to various people for various pieces of information. And they were running into the issue of, well, Julie isn't in here on Thursdays and Tuesdays.
The property record card should contain everything if it's taxable, and if not, it would be public. I mean, so that information would be there in the tax assessor's office, and it's probably a matter of just going to a hard catalog and pulling it out.
But so, even that was because of the time constraints on that. What we said is we will do that, but we're going to allow the towns to do that later. But I take your point, Bill, much of it is, but we're running into terrible time constraints here.
Well, I know places like Chester, and we have a lot of state land.
Yeah.
We have no record of that in terms of deeds or any other way other than the state.
Yeah.
has that relationship with ownership.
Well, we found some towns have current ROSIs, the Recreation Open Space Inventories, and others don't. And our problem is each town has different ways of doing it, each town has different methods. And with some towns it takes longer than with others, so we're trying to go the most expeditious.
You can also have preserved farmland that the town has no involvement in.
That's, yeah. Okay, that's the module
three. Let me ask a question. So towns submit their reports to the council, but the town hasn't formally adopted that submission.
Correct.
Not even conditionally. So then the council approves it, and then the town has to vote to approve it and send it up to COA.
Yeah, the fair share planning is a little different than most of the plan performance documents. Actually, all, with exception of the fair share plan, we're asking the towns to drafts for everything for the December deadline. That's including ordinances, master plan elements. The fair share plan, because COA requires certain actions to be formally done, is something that they're going to have to take formal action. What Eileen was alluding to is we want to make sure we review it prior to any municipal formal action,
yeah,
so for consistency.
So it backs up the timing. It makes the time crunch even worse.
It does.
Okay.
It does.
Do towns have to pass the ordinances to adopt all this stuff?
No.
Before the 9th?
No.
December?
No. We deliberately didn't do that for a couple of reasons. One is we need the time to review it. We don't want a town to go through the process of adoption and then when we review it, go, oh, no, you shouldn't have done this. We're backing it into it again. So what we said is we would take drafts. It's a petition, according to the law, that has to be filed by December 8th. However, as John points out, it is different when you look at the COA because they have to adopt that and submit it to COA. And we are taking more time there, but we're concerned that if they put in a site that isn't consistent with the plan, we don't want it to move forward and then back them up again. The module four is the environmental resource inventory. Now, we did send out to council the template that we have done for this. This is a basic environmental resource inventory for purposes of the year 2009, getting an inventory in place, a Highlands inventory for each municipality. We recognize many municipalities have an existing environmental resource inventory, others do not, some are very dated. So what we did is we did a Highland-specific one, and we've basically taken the information from this plan, coupled with our GIS layers, which are cut to that municipality, done a template, and we'll give that information to each town so that they can put in the relevant information from their town from the database that we'll give them. And we did a sample for Bedminster, which we've sent to all council members, and we're going to post it on our website by tomorrow, everything going well with OIT, so that the public can also see that sample. It has not been adopted or accepted by Bedminster at this point, but they understood that it's going to be the same for each town. Then they can add to it. They can, for example, if there's karst topography in our ERI and there's none in that town, they can remove that so that it'll become town specific. They can take it as is and adopt it because all it is an inventory of your steep slopes, your wetlands, your buffers, whatever. So I did send a link to all of you to review that and we'll be ready to put that a little example here of that. It can be adopted as a standalone ERI or as an addendum to an existing ERI. The base amount for that is 2,000. And here's just the front of the one we did, a Highlands inventory, where you see the highlight throughout the document. What is highlighted is specific information to Bedminster. That's what the public will see as well when we post this. The highlighted information is specific to that town. The rest is the template for every town. And then there's a series of maps. In this map here, you see the township, you see the preservation area lands here. It's done in an aerial format, so you can look through the green here. That's the preservation area. This is the planning area. And we will give that to each town as professional. I will tell you...
Yes?
This is Tracy. I just wanted to say, I looked at the ERI, and read through it. It's really an excellent document. I thought... It flows very well, it walks you through it, and it's, I think, the staff is to be commended on that document. It really is well put together.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tracy. I would like to recognize Erin Lyne, and she's here with us. This is, so to speak, Erin's baby. Erin has blood, sweat, and tears into this, and so delighted that you said that. Thanks, Tracy. Module 5 is the Highlands Master Plan element. Again, consistent with our approach on this, and this is one thing professionals have been pleased with, municipal professionals, is that we are doing templates for everything. It makes the work so much more consistent, and it does make it easier for them to respond to, because we give them all the relevant information and we do accept their feedback. So we will do a sample Highlands plan element for each municipality to evaluate and modify as appropriate and get back to us. And that is because, again, you will not be doing master planning in 2009 through the Highlands, because it's a much longer process than that which the legislature has given us as mandatory for preservation area lands. And the base grant amount for each of these is on the slide. This one is 2,500. Module 6 are Highlands regulations. Municipalities will evaluate their existing municipal ordinances to see whether they satisfy RMP conformance standards. But again, we're going to give them sample Highlands ordinances for each municipality to evaluate and again modify. Now, these ordinances will not take us through all the elements of the plan. They just put in the mandatory protections at this point in time, because there's an awful lot more work to do. A good example would be a cluster ordinance. That's going to be so specific to municipality, that will be the work of 2010. We'll just make sure we have enough in here that allows for the fact that we have a cluster in ARA, agricultural resource areas, a mandatory cluster component. So we'll make sure that that is covered, but there'll be much more detailed ordinance work moving out of 2009.
How long will towns have to update their ordinances?
Well, with this one, we'll give them the ordinance samples that we give them must be sent to us in draft form as part of their application for 2009. But they don't have to have adopted them, so they don't have to have gone through that public process. We just want to know that they've given us their sample drafts, and then we'll move into the process after 2009.
How are we going to check and make sure they actually pass these?
Oh, we'll know every step of the way, every action they take, Mimi. Just as we're working with them in this, we're also doing on the website, we're having a page now that will have every single municipality listed. We'll be following up and posting every single thing. And it's become so cumbersome that we can't do it unless we do it town by town, because it's much easier for people who are calling about one town to be able to look that up. As much as possible, we post things, both for transparency, but also for ease. A small staff to keep responding is difficult, and the public like immediate answers, and so it's better if we can post it. So often our answer on the phone is to give them the link so they can look at things online.
A municipality adopting these ordinances will be shielded from any suits as it relates to those ordinances, right?
And that's a very good point, Bill. That's why we want them in draft first, because we want to make sure they're consistent so that when they get basic plan conformance, they then do get that legal shield. So we have to make sure that the ordinance is consistent with the regional master plan. And finally, module 7 is the municipal self-assessment implementation plan and petition, because we're then moving out of the basic plan conformance into full conformance with the RMP, which will be a long process working with municipalities. Highlands Council will work with the municipalities to develop that municipal self-assessment report and an implementation plan for full conformance. We'll provide a sample resolution, which is the requirement for preservation area for conformance, and a sample ordinance, because again, the Act mandates that it's an ordinance for planning area municipalities for conformance. So we'll provide them with the samples, and that's the necessary work for the petition that we would get December 8th, 2009. And that takes us to the end of 2009, and you've seen there all the base grant amounts for the different elements.
They total $50,000 for the base grant amounts, but you can grant further awards up to $100,000 total for each municipality.
That's correct. You gave us the authority to do that, and so we look for verification from municipality as to why there would be a necessity for anything over the base amount. You've given us that authority. Should a town for any reason request more than that, or other grants that are outside of these plan performance modules, we come back to the council.
I have another question relative to the legal shield, which was referred to. What point does the legal shield kick in? For example, if a municipality has already at this point expressed its intention to conform to the RMP and they go through 2009, And they are sued in the process. They can be sued at any time, right, Tom?
That's correct.
Right. Does the Legal Shield protect them during that interim period?
Unfortunately, it doesn't. The Legal Shield becomes effective when the council acts on their petition.
It's finally approved by the council.
The council determines that whatever actions the municipality has taken is conform with the regional master plan. So actually, one of the things we had written to towns is we may want to encourage them to do certain ordinances and have council approve them in December to put certain protections in place. And so that's one of the issues we're looking at in terms of ordinances. So that, for example, a checklist ordinance, that would mandate that they go through some type of review. So we anticipate that we'll be developing procedures for the ordinances and those that would be effective very soon after December, because I think we're going to need to put some protections in place for towns.
So it's not possible, or is it possible, for the Highlands Council to approve certain components, which is what you're suggesting, and as soon as that is done,
yes,
to, in effect, implement the Legal Shield?
Yes, but and what the Legal Shield would protect them from is that ordinance, that is an example of checklist ordinance.
Right.
If the council deems that to be in conformance, that ordinance is now protected under the Legal Shield. So there is a possibility to phase this in, essentially, because the whole process we're creating is draft documents. So the municipal action actually hasn't taken place yet.
I think that's very significant, and that should be made broadly known to municipalities. Because one of my understanding from towns that I've spoken to is that they have intended to conform in order to get that protection against lawsuits. But if the lawsuits can fly anyway in the process, then they're going to be disadvantaged and not very happy with us. So I think that if we can do it in a phased-in way, that would be helpful.
And just so council knows, we actually have been working with the Attorney General's office for some of the co-planning for towns that are under court's jurisdiction. We've been submitting letter briefs in support of municipal actions for at least two towns already.
The other updates, just to let you know, project reviews, the PSE&G, we extended the public comment period on that, so we continue to work on that project. It should be back before you at your February meeting, which has been changed. There's one notice for the public to February 26th at 4 p.m. And the other, we're beginning to ramp up again on our informational meetings. When we spoke to the professionals on Tuesday, we highlighted our municipal informational sessions again, saying that we're very happy to go out and talk to municipalities with municipal specific information. And we have already three scheduled for this month, and as a result, even that day there were more asking for them, so we anticipate very busy evenings going out to the municipalities and providing them with more information as we assist them through this process. That's all from the executive.
Let me just acknowledge that toward the beginning of Eileen's report, Kurt and Janice joined us, and for your benefit there are four members on the phone, Tahisha, Liz, Debbie, and Tracy. So all members of the council are here except for Len Petrano, a family tragedy recently. We have currently two vacancies on the council since Tim Dillingham has resigned, effective when he resigned in a month or so ago, and the seat that was vacated some time ago. We're trying to work with the governor's office, to try to get movement on filling those vacancies and addressing some of the members who are in terms that expire or another. Okay, next item on the agenda is the committee reports, the audit committee. Liz?
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. The appointed agency auditor, Arcadia PCCPA, has completed the audit of the Highlands Council, directly administered funds for the fiscal years ending June 30th, 2005, 2006, and 2007. The audit reports represent the initial audit of the Highlands Council directly administered funds since the agency's inception and were conducted in accordance with generally accepted auditing standards applicable to financial audits contained and government auditing standards issued by the Comptroller General of the United States. In my telephone conference, which was held on Tuesday with Mercadian, I'm pleased to report, Mr. Chairman, that the auditors were very satisfied with the cooperation that they received from all of the staff members. The reports for each of the three periods audited reflect only two comments. They are depreciation expense on capital assets should be recorded annually on the books of the Highlands Council, and second, accounts payable as of June 30th should be recorded to properly identify expenses in the year that they were incurred. In response to the auditor's comments, the Highlands Council financial consultant Greg Delapia, along with Highlands Council staff Ranji Prasad, will implement the following procedures. One, depreciation expense will be calculated annually through the implementation of a spreadsheet, including all capital assets and related depreciation calculations. And second, an accounting policies and procedures manual will be implemented to establish procedures for the recording of invoices for goods received and services performed prior to the agency's year-end date, so that these amounts can be properly recorded as accounts payable. The auditors did not identify any significant or unusual transactions or significant accounting policies in controversial or emerging areas for which there was a lack of authoritative guidance or consensus, nor did they encounter any difficulties in dealing with management relating to the performance of the audit. Would recommend that the Highlands Council acceptance of the audit reports, management's implementation of the procedures and policies as outlined above in my comments previously in response to the comments from the auditors. That completes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much for your patience.
Thank you. We have a resolution in the packet. Would someone like to introduce that?
I will. I'd like to introduce that resolution approving the audit. Thank you.
And Bill seconds it. Discussion, comments, questions? Anyone on the phone have comments or questions?
I just want to point one thing out. I want to compliment Ranji in particular. The struggles that we've had financially in terms of reporting information over the years of our existence have been huge. And he's done a terrific job of keeping us straight and keeping me, you know, from bringing it overnight back. I'd like to commend him on, and Greg as well, but Ranji in particular.
I'd just like to ask you, are we going to continue to have an annual audit now?
I think Liz was going to speak to that.
Yes, and that's already in the works, and look for the next report.
Other questions, comments? Questions or comments? Comments from the members of the public? All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Next item on the agenda is the election of officers, and I'd like to postpone that and at least till the next meeting and see if we have a little more clarity about membership of the council. So, objection. Just continue as we are at the moment. We have nine planning.
What do our bylaws say? I'm not in opposition to your suggestion, but is it specific that we need to select officers?
We need to have officers, but we do not need to annually do it. So we have, with the existing officers, can retain in their existing positions.
But we could never reorganize.
We're not required, actually, in the bylaws to do annual reorganization.
Okay, we have planning assistance grants to consider. Planning assistance grants.
John, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
I know we've gone over monies last meeting or the meeting before. How much money is available right now for the conformance grants?
We
have
21 million, but 7.5 has now been set aside for this 2009 plan conformance, and some of that 21 million has already been committed to other grants. So I'm trying to think what the amount was. I did have it on the slide.
Well, we had a large TDR. We set aside a million for TDR. We set aside, I think, 650 for the ag grants.
So cool.
There's the NP3 and co. So we have we've set aside certain grant dollars. I'm estimating there were, with the 7.5, it's in the range of 7.
About that, I mean, I can give you the exact figures, and I did have them last week, forgive me for not remembering them exactly.
So that's 7 municipalities, or 70 municipalities, right? Do they do up to 100,000 each one?
So 7.5 was calculated on 88 municipalities. And then, but we also get 4.5 million more this year to add to the, and this isn't, we're not, tax stabilization is a separate account. So this is purely the grant program for counties and municipalities that we're discussing here.
What prevents that from being cut?
I beg your pardon?
What prevents that from being cut?
It's a dedicated fund in the Highlands Regional Master Plan that is through realty transfer fees. The legislature would have to go revisit that issue.
It's dedicated in the act.
Yes.
Yes.
So we have it or it's coming, we can't be touched. So we don't have any fear of obligating funds that...
I always have fear.
Right.
I don't know about everybody else,
yeah,
but I...
Yeah. Or some scheme that would borrow against the monies that we have that are in captivity.
I think we always have, I mean, as long as we commit to 7.5, we're working with the towns, we're always concerned, but I think we work on the basis that we have that money and that we'll keep working towards it. We're showing progress and we're showing that the money is necessary for the towns to complete this work. I think we all realize that. To date, we have no reason to be concerned.
Thank you.
So if I can just add one thing that came out of some of the municipal questions at our training session, there's actually two grants available now to towns, the initial assessment grant, which is the $15,000, and then the planning grant, which is $50,000 up to $100,000. So we continue to encourage towns to act quickly to apply for those.
I'm curious, if the towns in the preservation area, with land in the preservation area, who have not yet come into the council, is there any, there's no deadline by which they have to accept the December 8th deadline that they have to go?
We set forth a date by which they have to give us a notice of intent to conform simply because we need to get the work done in order that they're ready. If we don't do that, then we're not advising them that there's an amount of work that they must achieve to make that date. We'll be following up with letters to them. As I said, we've actually, Mayor Ardonish has spoken to us, so we can expect his application for the preservation area, and the other towns that we will, there's only a couple of them, but we'll get letters out to them informing them of that, because if should they miss that date, that they certainly they won't be able to get the work done to meet that mandatory date.
One of these planning grants that we're going to be considering momentarily is going to a municipality in the preservation area that has not yet filed a notice of intent.
Yes, they don't have to file a notice of intent to get this grant. The notice of intent is due under our guidelines by February 1st. Yes.
Yep. All right, let's move to the local bank.
But if they haven't filed a notice of intent by now, they don't have any COA protection, so they have to get their COA plan in.
If they didn't file the notice of intent, they must have filed their petition by December 31st, or they have their own concerns to deal with, right? They're not ours, to be sure.
All right.
The initial assessment grants, I do these, they are for Belvedere, Bernard, Hill, Hackettstown, Harveston, Independence, Liberty, Mine Hill, Stanhope, and White. May I do them as one?
Is there anyone who has to recuse themselves on any of these?
I'll move it as a consent item.
Great.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
Belvedere, these are all initial assessment grants, and they are all in the amount of first one for Belvedere Township is a $15,000 request. They had previously received a code grant, Crown 3, for $7,500 with a resolution date of December 18th, 2008. And the voucher and certification statement was sent to them on December 22nd, 2008 for signature. And once we receive that, we can forward that, and that will be paid out in full. Bernardsville Borough is a planning area community, so they're starting off with their initial request is for $5,000. They can then come in for the $10,000. This is their first grant request. Hackettstown are requesting $15,000. It is their first grant request. Hardeston is requesting $15,000. They previously received a COA round 3 grant for $7,500 with a resolution date of October 6, 2005. The account has recently been reactivated on September 18, 2008, and vouchers were sent to Treasury for payment on that because it is completed January 8, 2009. Independence Township is requesting $15,000. It's their first grant request. Liberty Township is requesting $20,000, and this you have before allowed for an additional amount if they verify the reason for that. In this case, they are asking for an additional $5,000 to identify the potential impacts of the New Jersey fish hatchery on Liberty Township water resources. Previously, they received a COA Round 3 grant in the amount of $7,500, resolution date of October 6, 2005, an execution date of December 9, 2005, and a payment date of March 9, 2007. Mine Hill Township requesting $15,000 is their first grant request. Stanhope Borough requesting $15,000. They too had received a COA Round 3 grant in the amount of $7,500, a resolution date of 10-6-05. Their application to date has not been completed. This full COA grant, so they haven't been paid out on that yet. White Township requesting $15,000, previously received COA round 3 grant, resolution date of 10-6-05, execution date of January 3rd, 06, and payment date of June 28th, 06.
Questions or comments? Public questions from the council public? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Extensions?
And okay. Before we move on, may I make one more announcement? We've had questions about the agricultural grants program, and we're pleased to announce that you'll be entertaining renewal applications because you have previously approved this. We have monies in the fund. So over the next several months, the grants will continue to assist counties and municipalities in implementing sustainable agriculture programs consistent with the goals, policies, and objectives of the regional master plan. A renewal letter will be sent to former recipients of the program, inviting them to resubmit scopes of work and budgets for your consideration.
Okay. Next time on the agenda is public comments. I think what we've heard is really exciting. This is taking the master plan and implementing it, and it's going to be a very challenging, busy year for the staff, and I think increasingly for the council as the year goes on. Adopted a meeting schedule for the year, but I anticipate there'll be reasons to change it, both having new meetings as well as conflicts that may arise, particularly when we get into the, I guess it's the fall, particularly of starting to receive plans from all these towns. It's going to be an interesting period of time. But thank you for the report and for all the good work. I also want to just thank Liz Calabrese for taking on the audit responsibility and fulfilling it so well. Thanks. Turn now to public.
Thanks, gentlemen, for all your
consideration
and patience. Turn now to public comments. Anyone from the public wish to comment?
Sure.
We're waiting, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to note that today, January 15th, happens to be Martin Luther King's literal birthday, even though we commemorate it at another time. Just piece of trivia.
Would have been 80 years old.
My name is David Shope. I have a farm in Lebanon Township, Lebanon County. And this is the 2002 USDA agricultural report on Port New Jersey. It's the latest. It's out every 5 years. You may have old grants in the world about agricultural sustainability. I would suspect to be one of the few ways you can make money in agriculture is to apply for grants, because agricultural sustainability in terms of return on equity does not exist in USDA's report. It's as simple as that. It's a fraudulent concept. You should really get a copy of it and read it. I also have a water supply action plan 2003-2004 right here. It talks about a couple things. This was done under Bradley Campbell. It talks about, it has 11 action items. I'll just go through a few of them because most of them do not apply to this geographic area. Action item one, improve the emergency water supply interconnection between the Raritan and Passaic water supply systems. Action item two, construct Confluence public pumping station in the Raritan River Basin. Action item number nine, promote beneficial reuse of reclaimed water. Okay, well, let me start by saying page three of the report says population growth of 680,000 people has occurred between 1990 and 2000, whereas water use declined by 8%, primarily due to reduced use by industrial and power generation. Population went up, water use went down. Right here, Bradley Campbell said so. And also talks about the drought factor in northeast New Jersey. We're not in northeast New Jersey, we're in northwest New Jersey. The consideration of drought factor that they talked about really speaks to action items number one and two, where this area is to supply even more water for areas impacted by the drought. Let me make my point again. This is nothing more than a colony in terms of the supply of water for the rest of the state, for which those of us who are colonized get nothing in return except an increasingly thick pile of regulations. In regards to action item number nine, promote beneficial reuse of reclaimed water, well, that's very easy to do. It's called wells and septic systems, where this system returns 80% of the water for reuse. It's the simplest, easiest thing to do, and of course, this is where you can do it, because this is where the water is. So you may want to consider what you're doing here, because it doesn't make any sense, according to Bradley Gamble's action plan. Legal shield. It's my understanding that if a municipality loses a battle in court, legal shield notwithstanding, or unable to withstand in this case, the bill is that of the municipality. The DAG who's set up by the legal shield along with the law will go back to Trent and say, oh shucks, we lost that one. You pick up the tab. I think municipalities ought to be made aware of the fact that if they lose in court, even with the legal shield, the damages accrue to them. Thank
you. Thank you. Mark, you
want to
say anything about the legal shield?
The legal shield is an issue regarding the standard of review of judges going to apply. The Highlands Act also provides the ability for the Highlands Council to provide legal representation directly. Most of the actions, or many of the actions that the towns will take regarding ordinances are not damage actions, whether the zoning will be overturned or not. So there's potential that there'll be some damages resulting from municipal actions, but the outcome of the legislation will provide, as it does, the highest level of protections for tenants.
Other public comments? All right. Well, any other comments from council members?
Just
to tell you,
that
was
a challenge.
You speak in favor or against?
Always in support. But it was a
phenomenal
job.
Did they ask her about the Highlands?
They did not. They asked her about a lot of the
conditions. I noticed in the paper that Frank Lautenberg has quote that she had been around a long time. Our next scheduled meeting is February 26th at 4 in the afternoon. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Move. So
moved. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
Yeah.